Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress. Hope for all.
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, once again, we invite you to unfold, disclose the text by way of your Spirit. Give us insight and understanding so that we might not only hear the principles, but heed the principles. God, that we will hear the message that you are speaking to us individually and all of us collectively. Gracious God, when we will have heard this word, may your Spirit stir us up that we might be empowered to do your word. And we'd be ever so careful to give you praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to the book of St. John, chapter 15. And this familiar passage of Scripture, beginning at verse 1. St. John chapter 15, beginning at verse 1, which says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in God's presence. Our message title is in the form of a question this morning, and the question is, how much fruit are you bearing? How much fruit are you bearing? There are four areas of fruit bearing here. The scripture reveals there is no fruit, some fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. One of the things that I want us to recognize is in Puritan commentators, in their scriptural study, they compared scripture to scripture in their preaching and teaching of the Bible so as to make sure that they obtained a correct interpretation of the Word of God. And it is suggested that our text should be compared with Luke chapter 13, verses 6 through 9. And the parable interprets the passage on fruit bearing. As a matter of fact, in the parable, God is the owner of the vineyard, and Christ is the dresser. Figs were common in the eastern gardens and vineyards, and the three successive years speak of youth, middle age, and old age. And note that perhaps it was the infecting of the branches and trees from the infected tree that the owner wanted the dresser to cut down so as not to, since it wasn't bearing any fruit, affect the other fruit-bearing trees. One of the things that I think is important is that we understand that it was a tree that the owner thought was useless and that it was taking up valuable space. But the dresser of the vineyard, in this case, who is Jesus, said, wait a minute, let it grow one more year. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to dig around it and fertilize it. and make sure that it has every opportunity and possibility to be a fruit-bearing tree before it's finally destroyed. Somebody ought to say, thank God for Jesus. Now, it is because of this interpretation that they suggest that we understand that fruit-bearing, and many folk think about fruit-bearing when they hear this, that it's talking about the wonderful characteristics and traits of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that may be a part of what it does mean, but here it's literally talking about the salvation of souls. It's talking about how you are able to be a bearing fruit, bearing tree rather, a branch rather, so much so that your life's existence is to produce fruit, and the fruit that the Lord Jesus Christ wants are those persons who are saved by your witness and your word. And so when we begin to look at this, go back to John 15 and we'll see in the word. Verse 2 says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. So he's talking, number one here, about no fruit. Somebody say no fruit.
No fruit.
This is the picture of a Christian making an attempt to win others, but he is self-satisfied, he's timid, he's afraid, and he's rather like a miserly person who's hoarding their gold, who's hoarding their blessing, and don't want to share it with others. It's like somebody who's gotten healed of the Lord and don't want to give God credit for the healing and don't want to tell somebody else where they can get cured. It's a believer who is without the burden of feeling that compassion for the lost. And so even his own relatives and neighbors and friends would die because he or she wouldn't even open up their mouths to tell them about the goodness of the Lord. And so therefore, they bring forth no fruit. Tell somebody, you can't bring forth unless you open your mouth. You can't bring forth anything good as it relates to being a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ and helping men find their direction and their way if you don't open up your mouth. How can you praise God if you don't open up your mouth? And so it is necessary that we understand that we've got to do our part. Proverbs 11:30 says, he that winneth souls is wise. And so if you want to be wise in the kingdom of God, it's not about what ministry you serve in. It's not about what church you go to. It's about how many souls do you save and how much fruit do you bear unto the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So verse 2 starts telling us about no fruit. Now, and then it moves on in verse 2, and I want you to see what it says because it reveals something else. It says, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. So we move from no fruit to some fruit. Somebody say some fruit. Because I'm trying to get you to say what you are. Y'all catch that on your way home, obviously. See, you, whether you recognize it or not, because the Holy Ghost will bring conviction on what level you are actually operating on the level of no fruit, on the level of some fruit, on the level of more fruit, on the level of much fruit. So now we're on some fruit. Now this is better than no fruit. But we can become too easily satisfied and comfortable with being able to say, I led somebody to Christ. But have you led anybody lately?
All right.
What have you done to bring man's awareness to the Lord Jesus Christ and let him know that there is hope for his issues, there is life behind and beyond what he's living now? How many of you have seen an opportunity to witness to the Lord, of the Lord, and to the goodness of God, and have passed that by? Because it wasn't a convenient time. It wasn't a comfortable time. It wasn't in the right place. You didn't have no backup with you. Well, listen, when you ain't got backup with you, you ought to have backup in you. You know, it's good to have two of you all, one to share the word, the other say amen to the word. But if you ain't got nobody but yourself, you ought to at least know that the Holy Ghost, who unctions you and urges you to open your mouth, is your greatest source, your guide, and your God. He is the one, when he tells you to speak, gives you in that same hour what you should say. And he is the one who brings conviction upon the one you are speaking to. It's not your job to bring conviction on people. It's not your job to beat folk over the head. It's your job to give people, thus saith the Lord. And so this is a description of Christians who are content to get by on a minimum. Well, I've gone witnessing already. I don't have to keep going witnessing. I'm going out as an evangelist. I've done my part. I don't have to keep doing that. I've got a minimum because I've gotten somebody. Might have been my cousin, my friends, you know, a few folk like that you got it. You figure you done enough. At a minimum, you got somebody in. Well, he wants us to recognize that he wants more than some from us. But look at the word, because it goes on again in verse 2. It's telling us something else. It says, again, he purgeth it that it may bring forth more fruit. So now he looks at the tree that brings forth nothing and says, you've got to be dealt with in a way that is consistent with good farming and with good gardening. If you are not productive, then you don't need to take up valuable space. But more than space, he was dealing with something else that I think we need to realize. When you don't bear fruit, it suggests something's wrong with the branch. Listen to this. If you don't bear fruit and you're connected to the vine, life-giving substance that's given to the branch to produce the fruit is so precious, it's called the sap. The sap is what gives the nutrients to the branches so that the branches can produce the DNA that's in the tree, in the fruit, so that it can bear. When it doesn't bear anything and it's getting its sap, it's just a sap sucker. I'm glad I said that slow. Because what it's saying is it's taking life-giving substance and is not producing anything in return. So listen, but here is the problem. It is usually because it's infected. And if it is infected, the dresser of the garden knows that it has to cut off the branch or that section of the branch so that that does not contaminate other branches. Because when the infected part, listen, of this branch starts killing, and it usually starts at the tip and works its way all the way back to the vine. So the dresser says, listen, wait a minute, 1/4 of the branch, and he, listen at this, he surveys the branch to make sure that if he doesn't have to cut it all off, he doesn't cut it all off. But what he wants to do is cut above where the contamination is to save the rest of the branch. And so if it's just where the wrist is, he cut that part off and let that fall, because if he lets it live, the contamination from that branch falls down on the branch beneath it and starts to contaminate that branch. And that branch then gets contaminated. And as it flows upwards and downward, it continues on until it can contaminate the whole tree. So he cuts off the contamination. Well, what are you saying, preacher? That just some things we've got to understand that God doesn't want us to be and to be a part of. And if there's some folk who's not bearing any fruit, he wants to cut that off from us, because if he doesn't cut it off from us, it can cause us who are bearing fruit to become contaminated and not be able to bear fruit no more. That's why you need to be careful where you're positioned on the branch. You need to be able to look up the branch and look down the branch. And if they ain't producing fruit, you need to make sure you recognize you don't want to be a part close nor near something that's contaminated. Because here's the problem. If you think it won't get to you, let life keep on rolling. And that's why even we ought to understand that the dresser, Jesus Christ of the garden, the vineyard, wants to inspect us to make sure that there is nothing contaminating us to keep us from bearing fruit. And here's what you need to know. If he cuts off somebody, if he cuts off something, if he cuts off a bad habit, if he cuts off what you love, you just need to know what he's doing is cutting that off to help you out. Y'all not hearing me today. See, you might not know it's contaminating you yet because you're still bearing a little fruit, but your fruit isn't as big and your fruit isn't as ripe and your fruit isn't all it ought to be. But you got to realize that the dresser knows it better than you. And sometimes you can be so close that you don't see. Have you ever had a bushel of apples or peaches or anything else and it started bruising? And it was already festering, but it was on the side of a good peach, a good apple. But because it was contaminated and laying up against the skin of the good apple, the place where the bad apple touched the good apple, the good peach, and stayed there too long, the germs and bacteria that were in the contaminated fruit started contaminating that area on the good fruit. But old folk used to do that, and they go through and they pull that bad one and they'd immediately throw that away. But listen, they would still save the fruit if it hadn't been there too long and take a knife and cut off. I wish I had a helper in the house. And they were yet still able to save the fruit because they surveyed it and they checked it out before it was too late. But if you leave it unchecked and unattended, it could have contaminated not only that fruit, but that fruit then would work and contaminate another. And before you know it, if it had not been checked, all of it could have gone to waste. That's why Jesus was clear about us understanding how we ought to operate in him. So he purged it. And purging is not always an easy process. It's a painful process. It's a difficult process. It's a process that causes one first to hurt, then heal, then produce.
That's right.
And so when we recognize this, when you cut off, which many people don't recognize, the bad part that has been purged, the life-giving substance that was going to a non-producing part can now saturate the good part, which makes, listen, the good part produce more than it would have produced had it been going in the former way. And so literally what happens is the stuff that's been cut off doesn't make anything bad. It makes it better. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You might cry over what's been cut off, but the Lord cut it off because he knew in time it was cancerous and was going to destroy you. But though it is cut off, you're going to be producing more now than you ever would have produced with it, because it is not taking the life-giving substance from something that works. And so when we recognize that, it produces more fruit. Listen to this, because when it produced some fruit, with the saints who were used to getting by with doing a minimum of work and saying this would be all right, What it literally does is God desires to stir up the gift in that branch. Stir up what is capable in that branch. And there are just some things you don't realize you can do till the Lord starts cutting stuff off you. Stuff you didn't think you could live without. Oh, I just can't live without. Ah, Jesus. You just all that. You know, and what you don't understand is God knows what you can handle and what you can't. And listen at you. What you didn't realize was life-giving sap was going through you down to that contaminated part and caused you not to be as productive and fruitful as you could be because it was taking up that was necessary for you to be more fruitful and you were too close to recognize it. But then at the end of that text again, verse 2 says, again, he purges it that it may bring forth more fruit. And that is the Holy Spirit's job to convict us and to help bring us to that place where we recognize that his job is to know us, to see us, to deal with us inside and out. And when we begin to see that this more fruit is the place where we ought to be operating at minimally. More fruit, more fruit, more fruit. But why is that so? Because when you begin to recognize it and understand it from the Lord's viewpoint, you're going to understand that more with God, his word is filled with that. God is a God of abundance. God is a God of increase. God is a God of us recognizing our full potential. And we can never, ever be satisfied with no fruit or some fruit, but more fruit here is important for you to have an attitude that is like God. Yeah. When there is more fruit, look at what God says, there's still more yet to come. In other words, when you're doing your best, God says, wow, not at what you're doing, but wow, at what you can do. The more fruit just proves to you that what he's invested in you is greater than you. And so it's the much fruit that is better than the more fruit that he wants the believer to aspire to. See why one of the churches, why churches are cold and lifeless and full of empathy and apathy and sympathy. Everything but life and being invigorated and energized, it's because they've stopped producing fruit. Something's wrong when somebody comes down the aisle to give their life to the Lord, to redirect themselves, and fruit that's been hanging on the vine, that's dying on the vine, can't rejoice at new fruit, new growth that come. Something is wrong when you can't be excited about somebody else coming to Christ. It means that the church is producing fruit. Let this church stop producing fruit and watch how long it takes for this church to die. Because the fruit that is going to fall off the branches. It's going to be ripened once it goes. And we say ashes to ashes and dust to dust. Who's going to take that place if we don't keep bearing fruit? And as it does happen that way, we discover that when we bring life-giving fruit into, listen to this, all life-giving fruit have seeds. If it has seeds, then that means it has the DNA makeup of that fruit, which should bear itself again. So, well, let me put it this way. If you're a sheep, you ought to bear more sheep.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. If you're a pastor, you ought to bear some preachers. If you're fruit, you ought to bear more fruit, apple, orange, whatever you are. In other words, there ought to be a likeness of you being reproduced. When God saved you, he has some others who are just like you unsaved. That's why, listen to this. That's why every pastor can't reach everybody. That's why God said, I will give you pastors according to mine own heart who shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Everybody can't give to you what God's got for you. That's why God assigns you to local fellowship. And he's been given a word for the people that God has organized and authenticated as sheep of that pasture. They're rhema words, relevant words that God gives to that man for those people, because he's assigned them together to work in that vineyard. And so there ought to be folk drawn to that reality. That's why I always say, listen, if the Lord didn't lead you here, you pray about it, you need to go where God leads you. Because people are in places where they can't be fed and they end up dead because they're malnourished. And they were on fire for the Lord and they were everything God wanted them to be, but they got around the wrong kind of wood. And all of that wood that wouldn't burn just brought that fire from high down to low to dying. You remember some folk who used to shout, don't you? Don't shout no more. You remember some folk who used to dance? Don't dance no more. Some folk who used to praise and give him glory, now their fire has gone out. Let me tell you one good reason. Because when you reproduce fruit, it makes you come alive. When you witness to somebody and they come to Christ, it enlivens you. And it lets you know that God's word and his work is not over yet. And he can still save whosoever will. Maybe your assignment is on your job. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's in your neighborhood. Wherever, excuse me, your assignment is, you've got to recognize that God's called you to bring forth that fruit. The enemy doesn't want you to know it. The enemy doesn't want you to do it, because the enemy knows the more fruit you bring forward, the more it destroys his kingdom. And that's why Jesus wanted us to bring forth and bear much fruit. That don't mean you have to be in ministry full time. It'd be wonderful if you were, but it doesn't mean that. But what it does mean is you take your time, your talent, and your treasures, and you invest them in doing the greatest good for the kingdom of God, so that much fruit can be established. And so you begin to realize, wait a minute, I'm on a mission for the Lord. And I'm not saved just to be saved. I'm saved to help save others. And when the revelation of that hits you, and you recognize time is running out, and evil is running rampant, that you've got to do all that you can do to bring forth much fruit. No, you may not be able to go into the foreign mission fields, but you can send those who can go. You can support the work of those who are doing it, and you will get credit for that much fruit, listen, without being in full-time ministry. You enable and help those who are doing it to do it the way God has ordered and ordained them to do it. Just with your time, your talents, and your treasures, you make yourself available to God. How? In every way and any way that God desires to do this. How does he do this? By keeping you connected with him. Abiding in him. Let's go back to the word and I'm closing. Look at what it says, verse 3. Now ye are clean. Another word, pruned. Listen, now ye are pruned through the word which I have spoken unto you. See, when you get this revelation and understand why the Lord is letting some things happen to you, why God is doing some things to you, why God is restructuring your life, it's because his word is cleaning and are pruning you. He's taking out all of the contaminants that contaminate you. He's decontaminating your life. And so you're going to find some empty places and empty spaces. But listen, they'll be filled when you connect with him. Listen, verse 4. Abide in me. You can't abide in him dirty.